Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We celebrate a new beginning today, a time of waiting and watching and preparing. Good morning and welcome to worship at West End on this first Sunday of Advent. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if this is your first time here with us. Welcome. We're pleased that you chose to be with us today and hope that you will return next week and in the weeks to come as we prepare for the coming of Christ in this church, in our hearts, and in the world. As we do that, there are lots of ways to prepare that you'll find in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift a few of those up. First of all, we do have adult classes related to Advent and Advent preparation, as well as individual devotional books. You can find those at a table in Reed Hall, and you can read more about the classes in your bulletin insert. I hope you'll take part in one or more of those ways of preparing your hearts during this Advent season. Also, this evening, you can get a great start to that with the annual Advent Wreath Workshop and Dinner. That begins at 5:30, lasts until about 7 in McWhorter Hall. It's a potluck dinner. The meat, drinks, and paper products will be provided, but you can read more about that in your bulletin insert. There will be supplies provided for an Advent wreath if you want to make one for your family. You may have made one previously and want to refresh it or change it in some way. So you can spend a time of fellowship and preparation this evening from 5:30 to 7 in McWhorter Hall. Also, next Sunday, December 4th at 4:30, be sure and put on your calendar a concert for Christmas. This concert includes a performance of John Rutter's exciting Gloria and also new choreography performed by New Dialect, Nashville's contemporary dance ensemble. So I know you'll want to be here for that next Sunday at 4:30. Tuesday night, the 29th, the Vanderbilt Choirs will perform a program of classic choral music at 7:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And then Friday night, December 2nd, the Chancel Choir is singing at the Mayor's Christmas Tree Lighting at 6 p.m. at Public Square Park. And then on December 11th, of course, is our traditional candle lighting service at 5:30 p.m. I know you'll want to be here for that. If you've been here before, I'm sure you're counting on it. If you haven't, you won't want to miss it. All the ways that we prepare to open that space for Christ to come to us once again. Do you ever get tired of waiting? Like maybe waiting for Thanksgiving dinner to be ready, and you're hungry, and you've maybe run or you've done something to justify eating way more than you need to, and it seems like it's never going to be done. That sense of anticipation, that excitement, that leaning in to whatever's going to happen next, you know what we call that? We call it Advent.
Advent is upon us, a season of wondering, watching, and waiting. We look for signs of God's presence around us, waiting for God to come in new ways. Come, let us worship God who is breaking into our world and our lives in new ways.
We light the first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear. O Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord."
Let us together make our confession to God with one voice. Holy God, we are an impatient people. We want what we want when we want it. Forgive us when we put aside the needs of others and cause harm to our neighbors due to our desires and wants. We have failed to set before the world an example of your goodness and vision of peaceful existence, which you have called us to do. Take from us our habit of disobedience, so that we may heed your word and do your work in the world as a testimony to your goodness. God loves you, forgives you, and seeks your restoration and wholeness. Know this and live. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Floyd Daniel Dunavant and Linda Keith Dunavant bring their son, Lucas Ezra Dunavant, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Just step right up here.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, Linda and Daniel, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care?
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and to this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Will you come to me? Will you come to me? Thank you. What name is given this child? Lucas Ezra. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may lay hands on him. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Now you can go back to Mommy. There you go. And you won't come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face Lucas Ezra? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Lucas Ezra to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Lucas Ezra. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mount, up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are others who would care to join us, you're welcome to come on down. Well, Happy New Year! I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the old guy has lost it. We just got through Thanksgiving, and Christmas isn't here yet, and why is he wishing us Happy New Year? Well, you know why? Because today is the first day of the Christian year. It's the first Sunday of Advent, and that begins our telling our story all over again. I know in most of the world, January 1st is the beginning of the new year, and for some of you, when you start school, it feels like the beginning of school is the beginning of the new year. But for us as Christians, today is the first day that we begin to tell our story all over again about Jesus, about waiting for him to be born, about his being born, and about his life and ministry. And so today is a pretty special day. We celebrate it in several ways. One is we celebrate it with a different color. Did you notice that there's purple here? And Pastor Becky has purple in her stole. I have purple in my stole. And if you watch along the weeks, there will be more and more purple in the stoles I wear until finally they'll be almost all purple. And then at Christmas, goes to white. So we remember this with colors, but we also remember it by singing certain songs that we really don't ever sing any other time of the year. Like the song we sang at the beginning of the service, O come, Emmanuel. There was a man who lived a long, 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 long time ago whose name was Augustine. And he said, when you sing, you pray twice. You pray with your words, but you also pray with the music. So we pray twice every time we sing a hymn. And this morning, we were singing a hymn asking Jesus to come. Emmanuel just means God with us. And that's another name for Jesus. Jesus was a reminder that God is with us, and Jesus was God with us, both at the same time. So when we sing that hymn, and every week we are going to have a special hymn that we're going to sing that sets the tone for our prayer that week. And the whole of Advent we are remembering that love, the guest, is on the way. Jesus is love. And Jesus is coming to be guest in our hearts, in our church, and in the world. And so we remember that by singing about it. You know, I can remember stuff when I sing about it a lot better than when I just say it. So that's another way we pray. Maybe when we sing, we pray three times or four or more. But all through the weeks of Advent, as we begin to tell this story again, I want you to pay attention to the story and the colors and the songs, because all of those are part of our prayer. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for a new beginning. We start your story again, remembering that we are very forgetful and sometimes need to be reminded. So the colors remind us, and the music reminds us, and your stories remind us that you came to be with us as one of us in Jesus. For that we give you greatest thanks. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, I guess I ought to wish you Happy New Year too, huh? Just like I did with the children. We begin to tell a story today, but we don't begin with the story of the birth. We begin with the story of anticipation, of yearning. The story that is told through that song, O Come, Emmanuel. Yearning for the coming of God back into our lives. Yearning for that love to be born in us again. And that's why we don't start with the Christmas story. Now, I know you've been hearing Christmas music since probably Halloween, right? At least since Thanksgiving. But that's not the way we do it in the church. We take time to prepare, to lean in, to anticipate. Because we know that if we are prepared, we are better able to live into God's dream. We're going to be reading from the prophets pretty much all the way up until Christmas. Because the prophets are the ones who tell us what God's dream is. Great scholar of the Hebrew Bible, Walt Brueggemann, says that the prophets are the poets who create the images that allow us to see where God's dream is lacking in our world and where God's dream might come to fruition in our world and how we can be a part of that. And so the dream that you heard Isaiah describe this morning is a dream where God would have every nation coming to the holy mountain. Now, I know some people are beach people, you know. Not me, I'm a mountain person. So it doesn't come as any surprise to me whatsoever that in the ancient world, people associated mountains with gods. Not at all. There is this kind of wonderful mystical sense of presence, for me at least, when I'm in the mountains. And so Isaiah describes all the peoples of the world. All the nations of the world, the nations being the non-Jewish peoples. That's the technical term that's used. So he's not just talking about a certain segment of the world. He's not just talking about descendants of Abraham. He's talking about every nation that comes pouring to the mountain of God to live in the light of God's love and presence. That's a remarkable thing. It was then, it is now. When we slice and dice and divide off religions and religious traditions as to who's in and who's out and who's welcome and who's not, this is a vision of everyone being welcomed into the presence of God and God's light. This is God's dream that Isaiah is describing. And as they come, they begin to learn about love. Isn't that why we show up every Sunday? Isn't that why we show up at classes? Isn't that why we show up at choir rehearsals? Isn't that why we show up anytime we come here? to be reminded of God's love and to learn how to live that love, because out there it's easy to forget. It's easy to live by the sliced and diced standards of the world and to begin to think that some folks are in and some folks are out. To begin to think that some are acceptable and some are not. And then we come and we hear Isaiah talking about all the nations coming, streaming to God's mountain to live in the light of God's love, to learn in the light of God's wisdom. And then they do something. It's not that they just come and bask in God's light. No, it moves them to do something which was quite radical in those days and still is. They bring their swords and they bring their spears. And, you know, in the ancient world, when people with differences got together, they usually got together to kill each other. Still true today, isn't it? When people with differences come together, they usually come together to kill each other. Maybe that's what they expected when they came to the mountain, because they come with their swords, they come with their spears, but instead of using them to kill each other, they go to a blacksmith's fire and an anvil, and they begin to pound those swords into plowshares. They take those spears and they pound them into pruning hooks, and the weapons of destruction all of a sudden are turned into implements of creation and growth. This is God's dream. It's not our dream. We still live out of the idea that if people with differences come together, they come together to destroy each other. But God's dream is radically different, just opposite. They come bringing their swords and spears, and by the time they have basked in God's love, they are pounding them into things that will help grow enough food for all those nations who have come. Wouldn't that be a miracle? If we spent just a little bit of the money that we dedicate for weapons of destruction on the weapons that create food, and even more importantly, distribute food so that no one anywhere among the nations would go hungry. That's God's dream. Sometimes when you hear the prophets, you think, they are poets. You can just dismiss them, because pretty much everybody dismisses poetry anyway, don't we? That's just poetry. That couldn't happen. Or could it? Let me tell you a story. There was a little village named Le Chambon-sur-Lignon in southern France. They were appointed a pastor named André Trocmé. He was sent there by the French Reformed Church, the Huguenot Church, in part as punishment because he was a pacifist. And when the Germans rolled in to France, he opposed meeting them with weapons of destruction. And so he sent to a little hillbilly town in the hills of southern France, Le Chambon. Pretty soon, the Germans have taken over and occupied much of France, but that southern part is still, quote, unoccupied, because they have a puppet, Field Marshal Pétain, who was a World War I hero, but basically he ruled out of Vichy, and he was a puppet of the German army. And pretty soon, of course, they began to register Jews because they were Jews. And shortly after the Jews were registered, they started sending them off, gathering them up, and sending them to internment camps, which we know what those turned into, don't we? And on the Sunday that he heard that they were doing this, André Trocmé stood before his congregation and said, "The church should fall down on its knees and repent and ask forgiveness for its cowardice in not confronting this as evil." Woo! But he was right. It was evil. the registration of people just because of their religion, their internment in camps just because of their religion, their ultimate destruction just because of their religion. And so, pretty soon, the word came down to Le Chambon by out in the sticks there that they were supposed to register and turn in their Jewish neighbors. And on the Sunday after that word came down, André Trocmé stood before his congregation and said, "We will not do this. We will not take part in this. We will oppose it. But we will not oppose it with swords and spears. We will oppose it with the weapons of the Spirit." And so that little tiny French mountain village saved the lives of close to 5,000 people during a time when other Christians were turning their Jewish neighbors in right and left because their loyalty was to the Nazi party, not to Jesus Christ. The Christians in La Chambon hid Jews. They hid them in their school. They hid them in their homes. Whenever the Germans would get close, they would send them further out into the sticks. The families who took them in were interviewed many years later by a man named Pierre Sauvage. He had been a baby of Jewish parents born in La Chambon during that time. His parents didn't tell him about this until he was an adult. When he found out, he wanted to go back and find out, why would people risk their lives for his people, for people who were considered outcasts? And he went around and he interviewed shopkeepers and farmers. These were just ordinary people, like us. He said, "Why would you do that?" And they said, "How could we not? You just do it because it's the right thing to do." To them, it seemed like the simplest thing in the world, whereas to much of Europe at the time, it didn't appear that way. They were all too ready, Christians included, to turn their Jewish neighbors in. But to this particular group, they heard a gospel that was related to their own history. Because you see, the Huguenots in France had a history of persecution by the Catholic Church. And the roots by which the Huguenots took Jews out of France and to safety were the same roots that Huguenots had taken out of France to safety when they were persecuted by the Catholics. The songs they sang were songs of their own history of persecution. They identified with those they were helping. You see, there are two ways to look at your suffering, I think, at least that. One is, I suffered, then somebody else is going to have to suffer. It's the way most of the world feels about it. But in La Chambon, they took a very different approach. Their approach was this: I suffered, my people suffered, no one else should ever have to go through that. And it was their Christian faith that put them on that road. Pierre Sauvage called it a conspiracy of goodness. When the tanks rolled in of the Free French Army to liberate La Chambon, he said, "But of course, they were always free. They had never given in to the Nazi oppression. They had never given in to the Nazi rules. Even their youth group, when the Nazi minister for youth came to visit, read him a statement saying boldly that they would not turn in their Jewish neighbors, but they would hide them." The youth group. It's not impossible to beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. The people of La Chambon did exactly that. And they did it with the weapons of the Spirit. A fearlessness, a compassion, a willingness to risk for their neighbors when others would not. And in the process, 5,000 people lived through the war who would probably not have otherwise. If you want to read more about this, there's a wonderful book by a man named Philip Holley, who taught at Vanderbilt many years ago, called Lest Innocent Blood Be Shed. And the Sauvage documentary with the interviews is still available. It's called Weapons of the Spirit. But you see, God's dream is not a fantasy. It is realized in the lives of God's people, in us. It's not something we can ignore. When we pray, O come, Emmanuel, we are asking for that assignment. We are asking to be the ones who beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks and face the weapons of destruction with the weapons of the Spirit. The only question is, who do we follow? Do we follow Jesus? Do we really mean, come, O come, God be with us? God is with us, Emmanuel? Or is that just something we sing and we leave here and go about our business as usual? Do we really want to be a part of God's dream? That's the question. If we do, it's certainly not impossible. Anything but. It's been done before. It's been done before by people who, here and there, in small groups usually, sometimes in out-of-the-way places, decided they were going to follow Jesus rather than the trends of the time. Decided that maybe Isaiah was right, that all nations are called to stream into the light and love of God, and that we are to be a part of that invitation and that welcome and that protection, and we will face the weapons of war with the weapons of the Spirit. It's not impossible. It is our calling. The only question is, will we follow it? My prayer this year, as I pray, O come Emmanuel, is that we will. We are reminded of who we are and whose we are in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's Scripture that reminds us. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 889 in your hymnal. There you'll find an affirmation of faith that is taken from Scripture. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance,
that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, who became in the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of our gospel. Amen.
Good morning. If you're following along closely in your bulletin, you may realize that I am not Stacy. I'm Chris Allen. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And our first prayer concern is that Stacy is a bit under the weather this morning, so I am filling in for her. West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather with us for worship today. If you're a guest among us, a special welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited after this service for a time of fellowship and Reed Hall directly to your right out those doors. If you're a first-time guest with us, please look for someone with a blue name tag. If you have any questions, they'll be happy to answer anything, or one of the staff members that'll be at the doors or out in Reed Hall after the service. And if you are a student among us today, either a graduate or an undergraduate student, you're invited to join our student ministry for lunch after the 11 a.m. service. They'll also gather at 11 or at noon in Reed Hall. And I invite you at this time to take note of those gray cards that are in the pew racks in front of you. On one side, there's an opportunity where you can put prayer concerns. And you can note if that is a confidential or can be shared with the congregation. And on the back side of that card is a place to leave comments or questions for the staff and lay leadership of the church. And if you would like a follow-up with that, please include your contact information so that we can follow up with you. And also take a moment to find the pew, the attendance pad that's on the inside of each pew. If you'll take that and fill it out and then pass it along the pew, and you can then pass that back and you can see who's sitting among you and say hello to anyone that you may not know. Today we extend sympathy to the family of Ruth Close, who died on Thanksgiving Day. Her service will be in the sanctuary here on Wednesday, November 30th at 2 p.m. with a visitation preceding the service beginning at 12:30 in McWhorter Hall. Among her family here at Weston are her daughter Charlotte Sewell and her son-in-law, the Reverend James Sewell. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of hope, we anxiously wait for your peace to come. Our hearts cry out for relief from the suffering and the chaos in the world. Our souls were meant for so much more than this. You have created us to love extravagantly, to be in peaceful relationship with all our neighbors. Give us time away with you on the mountain so that our souls may be refreshed and restored. Help us to make this time a priority. Fill us up so that we can do the life-changing work that you have called us to do. Transform us in such a way that we cannot help but see the world as you see it. Give us fresh eyes to see every single person as your beloved creation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts, our homes, our country, and our world. Be with those who grieve, those who are lonely, and those who are afraid. We pray for those who are sick and suffering, for those who are angry and overwhelmed. You have created us to have fullness of life in you. You have called us to peace. May we partner with you to make it so. And now let us join together in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, in response to the generosity of God, let us continue in worship through the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
And now I send you forth to live God's dream, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who dreams the dream of peace, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk as children of light, will be with you every step of the way. Go in peace.
Rejoice.